If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Luke 127. I got Luke Lacey on the brain. Psalms 127. Sorry, Luke. You didn't know. You are a biblical book, but you know. Psalm 127. So Luke's going to come up. He's going to share a little bit about what's going on in Ravalli. They've got a building project going on, that kind of thing. He's going to share about that. But then he's also going to come and open the scriptures for us. And when he gets to that point, this is the passage that he has chosen. So, turn to Psalm 127, and we'll read that together, and then I'll call Luke up to share with us. Psalm 127, starting at verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So, you know, I had the privilege of first knowing Luke when you either at Camp Utmost or when you showed up as one of my students in Bible Training Center. I can't remember, but one of those two, flip a coin. And so I've known him since he was in high school, at least. And just been a pleasure to watch you grow and meet Aaron, and you guys have a family together, and just see you blossom in ministry and stuff like that, buddy. So come on up here and share with us. We are looking forward to it.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. It is an incredible blessing to be here with you all this morning, and I greet you in the powerful name of our dear Lord Jesus, and I bring greetings from our congregation in Ravalli, and they're gathered and worshiping there together right now as well, and so it is just an incredible privilege and blessing to be able to come and be here with you guys. And as Pastor Jeff said, we go back quite a ways, and being here even in this building brings back a lot of memories. My father went to be with the Lord 21 years ago this very day on February 4th, and his funeral was right in this sanctuary. And so that's one of those memories you just can't get out of your heart or your mind. And so it's just amazing to me that in the Lord's providence, here we are 21 years later, in the same church, being able to open up God's Word and share about what God has done and what He is doing. It's just incredible to look out over the crowd and see just so many different faces and of so many different individuals who have had such an impact in our lives and in our ministry. I mean, there's my mom, and it's an incredible blessing that her and my stepdad, Frank, are here at this church. But then there's just couple after couple and face after face of different people who have walked the road with us for many years. And so we just can't help but thank the Lord. And so we want you to know that we thank our God for you, and we thank our God for this congregation, for Lolo Community Church. The Lord has used this church to be a bright light in a dark area for many decades, and it's incredible to think about that. And we have been so blessed by that, and we just want you to know how thankful we are. And we're so thankful just for the different ones who have invested in our lives through prayer and encouragement and financially. We would definitely not be where we are today apart from that, and apart from the Lord working in a mighty way. For those who don't know us, as they mentioned, my name is Luke Lacey, and that's my beautiful wife, Erin, and that's our boy, Azariah. He is a gift from the Lord, a real blessing. And we serve with the Rocky Mountain Bible Mission up on the Flathead Indian Reservation. We were missionaries in South Africa from December 2013 to December 2017. And at that time, the Lord was just laying on our hearts and really believed that He was calling us to go and minister in a place where not very many people have heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins and rose from the grave, and that all who trust in Him will be saved. And we sense that He was calling us to minister within the context of the local church, and with the giftings that He has entrusted to us, we just sense that it was leading towards church planting. So as we came back in faith from South Africa and we connected with different ones, the Lord made it clear that He was calling us to the Flathead Reservation just north of Missoula, so not very far from here. And so now, coming up in April, we will have been there 6 years already. It's crazy. A lot of you here will remember when we came and were sharing with the church about the Lord's leading and how there was similarities between this reservation and South Africa and all of this stuff. And now here we are almost 6 years later. And this church has been so vital towards that. In fact, the home that's owned by the mission up there that we've been living in for this whole time, it's all the guys of this church's fault that it's that it was renovated and a home for us to live in, which that is a good fault to have. No, it's not a fault. It's an incredible blessing. They spent countless hours remodeling the home so that it would be a place for us to live. And then they remodeled the old garage that was there in Ravalli, and now it's an incredible building. And when they were doing that work, they probably didn't know that where we're sitting at now, that it's a school. And that the Lord has just been working. Life and ministry on the reservation is very difficult, and we are daily reminded that it's spiritual warfare. And there's been many battles that we have fought and continue to fight. But in the midst of it, the Lord has been gracious and the Lord has worked. And so over these last 5.5 years, we can just look back and see His faithfulness and His goodness in the midst of it. In 2020, the Lord allowed for the start of the church that meets in Ravalli now, Ravalli Bible Fellowship, or Hope Church, as they were mentioning. And we started weekly services that year. What a year to start weekly services, huh? 2020. But the Lord was gracious, and here we are 4 years later, and the church is still meeting. So I just want to extend an invitation. If any of you are ever up north on a Sunday, you are more than welcome to come and worship with us on a Sunday morning. We start at 11 o'clock, and we have potluck every week. So, well, a part of it, yeah. So you guys are welcome to come and be a part of that. And so that was in 2020. Later on that year, and I'm just giving a bit of an update and just sharing a bit of what the Lord has done and how we are where we're at now. But later on that year, there was a grandpa that we had connected with. He was a native. And he asked us if we would pray about and be open to adopting his granddaughter. And we prayed about it, and we ended up saying yes. But at that time, she didn't end up coming to our home. But fast forward a year in 2021, she did end up coming to our home, and her name was Jemmy. And she was an incredible blessing in our life. And then a couple months later, Azariah was born in July, and another mom had asked if we would adopt him. And so in a very short amount of time, we got these two little kids, and it was an incredible blessing from the Lord. Thankfully, after 10 months of not knowing what would happen with Azariah, the adoption did come through with him, which is an incredible blessing. But in the midst of that, in the midst of taking care of these kids, in the midst of serving on the reservation and seeking to reach the lost with the gospel and to disciple the different individuals within our church, and to pour into the life of our little girl and our boy, the Lord just really laid upon our hearts a burden for the children and a burden to seek to provide an alternative to a lot of the stuff that was happening in the public schools so that these kids could be raised up to know Christ. And so by God's grace in 2022, so last summer, we were able to start a small Christian school, Hope Christian School. And there were three students, and one of them was our daughter, Jemmy, which was an incredible blessing. And so the fall of 2022, we got started with the Christian school, and then December of 2022, we got the call that Jemmy was going to be moved somewhere else. So after 19 months, she was placed somewhere else. So that was really hard. It still is. But I share all that to share. At that point, we just thought, Lord, what are you doing? Do you want us to continue on here? Do you want us to go somewhere else? Just with all of the... And there was a lot of me that wanted to just leave. Wanted to get out of Montana. But the Lord is faithful. And as time went on, he made it apparent that he is working and that he's doing something. Last spring, a family in our church, a Native family, they came to us and they asked if we were still taking students, and they wanted their older daughter to transition from the public school and to join our school. And so we said yes. And so Aaron was teaching her with Azariah around. But then as things progressed and we came to this school year, now there's 20 students a part of Hope Christian School, from preschool up to 15 years old, and just different families hearing and wanting their kids to be a part of it and to grow, and most of them are Native kids, which is just an incredible miracle. And with that, the Lord laid it on the heart of a couple of men to give towards the start of a building project for a multi-purpose room gym in Ravalli. And I know we've been talking with DeLon and with Pastor Jeff, and that's something that it seems like as a church you're interested in that project, and we're just so thankful to the Lord for that. But throughout all of this, a constant theme that has just been in the undercurrent of it all has been, and it continues to be, something that comes to my mind and my heart all the time, the very passage that Pastor Jeff read to us in Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches the city, the watch man stays awake in vain. It is in vain you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. But when he does build the house, our labor is not in vain. What a good God we have. And he's still in the process of building. And he's still in the process of watching. And he's still in the process of providing. What a good God we have. What a perfect God we have. What an incredible Savior. The author and finisher of our faith. And our life, and all that the Lord has allowed, and all that he's brought us through, and all that we've gone through, highlights to us that he is worthy. And that he, just as Pastor Jeff prayed, he is sovereign and he is in control. And he's working. And that's one of the powerful lessons that springs up from Psalm 127, that the Lord is sovereign. But that doesn't take away humans' responsibility. And that's what this passage clearly highlights. That the Lord is sovereign, yet humans are responsible. The Lord is sovereign, but we are responsible. And we who have been born again to a living hope can trust him, and it can lead us to build and to watch and trust him for his provision in the midst of it. I would like to, as we open up Psalm 127, I would like to break it down pretty much just quickly into three main points. First of all, in verse 1, the first part, for us to consider that the Lord is the perfect builder. Trust him and build. And the second part of verse 1, that the Lord is the perfect watchman. Trust him and watch. And then from verse 2 through verse 5, there's a whole lot that could be unpacked in these verses, but for the sake of time, I just want to clump it all together and highlight how this reveals to us that the Lord is the perfect provider, and it should lead us to trust him to provide. But before we get into it, let me just pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you that you are God. And we thank you that you are still in the business of building and in the business of watching and providing. And we thank you so much that we can trust you. And I pray that each and every one of us will grow to trust you in a deeper way today, O God. And that trust will lead us to fulfill the call that you have placed upon each and every one of us. Lord, in these next few moments, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So quickly, in verse 1, the first part, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. This is a very interesting psalm. Psalm 127 is one of the psalms of ascent. And I'm sure the Levinsons could really teach on the psalms of ascent. A few years ago, the Lord opened the door for Aaron and I to go to Israel. And it was so amazing as we were going up to on the east gate with the stairs that went up. And it was amazing to see these stairs were staggered. There was one that was a bit skinnier, and then one that was a bit longer, and then a skinny stair, and then a longer stair, and then a skinny, and then or a fat stair, or whatever. But it was purposefully done so that as the worshipers would ascend up to the temple, they couldn't ascend so hastily. So, and on each step, they would take one of these psalms and they would pray it. A psalm of ascent as they ascended up to worship the Lord at the temple. And I find it so amazing here that in Psalm 127 it says, of Solomon. So this was a psalm that was written by Solomon. Most of the psalms we rightly ascribe to his father David, but it's amazing how here the note is made that is of Solomon. Who was it that the Lord called to build a house for his name? It was Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 3, it's the preparations for the building of the temple. Well, starting in verse 2, it says, "And Solomon sent word to Hiram, 'You know that David my father could not build a house for the name of the Lord until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There's neither adversary nor misfortune. And so I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. As the Lord said to David my father, your son whom I will set on your throne in your place shall build the house for my name.'" And then it continues on. Solomon's palace was incredible. But the focus and the thrust of what we see in the scriptures that is laid out to us, and I would say probably Solomon's greatest accomplishment was not the building of his palace, but was the building of a house for the name of the Lord. And so now he, who the Lord had put in this position and was responsible for seeing the building of the house of the temple, reveals to us in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. You see, Solomon understood that there was work that needed to be done in the building of the temple. There was a lot of work that needed to be done. There was a lot of man hours. There was a lot of time. There was many people who contributed to the building of Solomon's temple. But Solomon understood that the only way that it could be accomplished is if the Lord did it. And the Lord did do it, didn't he? Because the Lord is the perfect builder. And when he has a purpose, it will be fulfilled. It will be accomplished. But it doesn't take away man's responsibility. Fast forward to today. Don't you just love it when in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, after Simon had said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," our dear Lord Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are Peter. And on this rock, the confession of your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, He said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What a promise! Doesn't it just seem like the gates of hell are all around us? The darkness in the world? But we have a perfect builder, the Lord. And He has promised that He will build His church. But it doesn't negate our responsibility. Because later on in that very book in Matthew chapter 28, that same Lord, our dear Lord Jesus, who promised that He would build His church, He sends out His disciples and He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded, and I will be with you until the very end of the age. They were responsible to make disciples. Amen. And yet, it's the Lord who builds His church. And it's His church that is full of disciples. What a wonderful God that we have. And so His sovereignty and the wonderful truth that it will be accomplished should not lead us to just sit on our rear ends and do nothing, but to trust Him and by His grace to seek to follow through with what He has commanded us to make disciples, knowing all along that unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds His church, it's not going to be built. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Trust Him to do it. And that's what has been highlighted in our lives as we've been serving over these last few years. That if it's going to get done, the Lord has to do it, but it doesn't take away our responsibility. And I encourage you in your own life, what has the Lord called you to be a part of building? Making disciples of your children? That's a big deal. Making disciples of your grandchildren? Sharing the gospel with the lost, encouraging other believers, devoting yourself to fellowship, pursuing godliness, disciplining yourself to godliness. But it's His grace that motivates and leads us to trust Him to do that work. Secondly, the Lord is the perfect watchman. Trust Him and watch. Second part of verse 1, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. One of the great places where we see this idea of a watchman on the walls illustrated for us is in the book of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 4, as they were building the walls, starts in verse 6, it says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And then if you go down a little bit farther, in verse 15 it says, when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. Verse 16, from that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail, and the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. They were building, and the Lord was powerfully empowering them for that work, but there were also enemies. And they had to be on their guard, and they had to watch. And there's so much about the Christian life that takes not only building, but it also takes a careful watch. In fact, in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, we're exhorted, be sober-minded, be watchful. It says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The evil one wants to devour what the Lord has built. But the wonderful truth is, although there is the responsibility on us as believers to watch and to watch out for our families, our churches, the community, that the Lord Himself is the perfect watchman, and He brings perfect protection. So we can trust Him for that. And last of all, and we'll go through this quickly in the last three verses, I just want to highlight briefly that this highlights to us that the Lord is the perfect provider. Trust Him to provide. It says in verses 2-5, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. I would just like to highlight just briefly two things that this highlights that the Lord provides. One, He provides sleep for His beloved. You see that in verse 2. It is in vain you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. What an incredible gift that the Lord grants us is that we who know Him and who are trusting in Him can go to sleep without the anxiety of all that burdens us down, keeping us up. And trusting it to Him, knowing that He is working. In the NASB, it's translated a little bit different. It says, He gives to His beloved even in His sleep. So part of it is the Lord provides sleep, but then He also provides for us when we can't provide for ourselves, when we're sleeping. It's kind of like the farmer. He plants the seed, waters it, but then while he's sleeping and he's not aware, the Lord is causing it to grow. The Lord is the perfect provider, and He provides sleep. But then also in the last few verses, and this is an incredible passage that can really be unpacked, but one of the things I just want to highlight is that the Lord provides the lasting heritage. Verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a heritage from the Lord. They're a gift. Or that term could also be translated an inheritance from the Lord. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Well, it says, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. So once again, we see God's divine sovereignty in that He is the one who gives children as a heritage and the fruit of the womb as a reward. But then we see man's responsibility. Blessed is the one who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gates. and we could go on, but for the sake of time, what I want us to look at and to see here in this passage is that it's the Lord who is the source of that provision. It's the Lord who is the source of the children that are given as an inheritance, as a heritage. And in that time, that's what a person's retirement age was dependent on, was the children who could take care of him. And for the legacy that would be passed from generation to generation. Our heart's desire is that with the ministry up in Ravalli and with the school that the Lord has been working, that these children who are coming will be able to receive the truth of God's Word, and that they would in turn be able to carry it on, and that we would be able to come alongside these families who the Lord has given these children, so that these children would grow to be sharp arrows in the quiver of the Lord. Right? It's amazing because Solomon, he wasn't a warrior, but his father was. And Solomon knew what it meant to be an arrow in the quiver of his father. The Lord provides. And unless he builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. But he is the perfect builder. Trust him and build as the Lord has called you to, as he has called us to. He is the perfect watchman. Trust him and watch as he has called you to. And he is the perfect provider. Trust him and trust that he will provide. Father, we thank you so much for our dear Lord Jesus. And we thank you that in him, we have all that we need for life and godliness. And we thank you that he is the cornerstone upon which our faith is built upon. And you are the one who are building your church. And you are the one who are watching over our souls. And you are the one who provides. May we trust you in a deeper way. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.